Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Round Ball Stew podcast on NBC Sports Edge. I am your host, Ryan Knaus, joined with my usual co-host, Jared Johnson.
Hello.
Our guest this week, Aaron Robinson.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me today. You know, I'm glad to be on with my two favorite guys on NBC Sports Edge. Don't tell me once said that, though.
Yeah, Matt, Steve, I hope you're listening. No.
We won. We just won.
We are joined by an actual baller in Aaron who plays hoops for real. He doesn't just do it in fantasy. So, Aaron, how has your playing been going?
It's been going all right, man. I was bummed because, as you guys know, I was supposed to go to Canada right after Christmas there. But this COVID pandemic stuff, man, Miss Rona is having her way out here in the world, man. So that trip got canceled, man. So had a game the other day, we lost in Baltimore. We got another game on Saturday up in Pennsylvania. So it's been going good, though, man. I'm having a lot of fun and definitely enjoying it. But hopefully that Canada trip can get rescheduled or something. We might go again in late February, I'm hearing. So fingers crossed on that one.
Right on. Maybe someday we'll be talking about you and our fantasy teams. Who knows?
that would be something.
Jared, why don't you kick us off talking a little bit of Pistons, and then we'll get into a pickup of the day from Steve.
Sure. Yeah. So yesterday, Cade Cunningham snapped out of his shooting funk. He had been really shooting the ball poorly in his previous two or three games, but he came through with a 29.5 triple explosion and an impressive upset win over the Jazz. The Jazz were missing Rudy Gobert, kind of important, but still, you wouldn't expect this Pistons team to do what they did. And yeah, Cade has been a little bit of a streaky shooter this season, but he's coming around more. It's not too much of a problem where, I mean, he does crush your field goal percentage some weeks, but he can have these really nice stretches like he's going through now. And also the assists are coming up with at least 5 dimes in 8 straight games. And just a little betting note. Cade is currently number 3 in the Rookie of the Year odds at plus 650. That's a nice little odds right there, because we have Evan Mobley, the favorite, at minus 115. And Scotty Barnes, it looks like, is number 2 at plus 225. Now, I think the race is pretty much between Mobley and Cade. And right now, I would give it to Mobley.
Mobley and Cade?
I think so, yeah.
No Scotty?
I don't think so, honestly.
All right. Wow. I got a fade.
You can put that, but I mean, just like number 1 pick playing up, I think it's between those two. Like 750 odds, that's a bet that I might take.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know obviously Franz Wagner isn't in the top 3 right now, but he's kind of been on a tear a little bit in Orlando as well. So I'm interested to see how he's going to kind of finish the season, and maybe he can kind of close that gap. But the way I've seen it kind of all year has been kind of a 2-man race between Mobley and Scotty Barnes with the way Cade has been playing. But obviously, you know, with him heating up now and the things that he has around him in Detroit, obviously I think are going to allow him to kind of be able to put up those big numbers, especially with Jerami Grant being out. He's playing with a bunch of young guys. Obviously, my guy Hamidou Diallo has been playing a lot better lately. Which has been impressive to see. But he's on a team, you know, with a bunch of young guys, you know, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, whereas Scotty Barnes, for example, is playing with Van Vliet, and Siakam is, you know, all of a sudden looking like an all-star again. And, you know, obviously Toronto is extremely deep. Whereas Mobley, I think, you know, obviously with Rubio going down, they're pretty deep in the front court, but they need somebody, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, to kind of playmake, you know what I'm saying, especially since they're kind of thin at the guard spot. So, I don't know. I love Mobley's versatility, and you know the things that he's going to be able to do now that you know Cleveland is in the position that they're in. I think I would, if I had to put some money, I would definitely be throwing a house on Mobley right now.
So you going with the favorite? Because points bets agree.
But check it out. 650 plus 650. That means if you put $100 on Cade, the number one pick, that's $650.
I think the key there is that the, you know, Cade's numbers are probably going to be there. We're seeing that. You mentioned the dimes are coming up. He's looking more comfortable offensively. I like that he's getting catch and shoot opportunities. He doesn't have to just generate all of his own offense off the dribble. That's been nice to see recently. Killian Hayes looking for him in particular. But the Pistons have won four of their past six games. That's what it's going to take because they're buried at 14th in the East. Only the Magic are worse with Franz Wagner, as you mentioned, to his fourth points bet rookie of the year odds. But it's going to take more wins for Detroit to generate some momentum, at least a spark of life, to somehow overtake Evan Mobley, whose individual excellent performance has been coupled by the performance of the Cavs exceeding expectations. So, yeah, a lot going on in the rookie of the year race. We'll keep tabs on that as we go along. Sadiq Bey also went off in that game for 29 points on Monday. He shot 10 of 14 from the field. He's currently outside the top 100 on a season-long basis, but he's top 50 in the past 2 weeks, 20.9 points, four triples a game, 7.5 boards, other stats. His field goal percentage is probably going to be a problem because he's so high volume from the arc, but he's better than we saw to begin the year. And I think he's just loving life without Jeremy Grant. And that's a key distinction because Grant, yes, he's out with the thumb surgery. He will be coming back this season, but we just heard again from Shams Charania in The Athletic that Grant remains, I believe the quote was, one of the most sought after players this trade season. And any team that gets him is going to want to lock him up for probably 4 years, $112 million this offseason. Therefore, they're going to feature him, you know, immediately. So I think it's, you know, with a Grant trade looming and Sadiq Bey stepping into a bigger role and looking very comfortable, I think it's set up very nicely for Bey. Do you agree, guys?
That's a good point with the trade front. Yeah, because it makes a ton of sense to get Jeremy Grant out of there. He's in his NBA prime. He doesn't need to go through this rebuild. So,
right.
And he's highly attractive. Like Jeremy Grant can be a very good contributor on a championship team. So, yeah, I mean, that makes a ton of sense to me. It's always, you know, we have to think about who comes back at the same time. You know, it's not like Jeremy Grant goes and nothing comes back unless it's like one of those draft pick ordeals. But still, given the way he's playing right now, yeah, I think that he has a shot of being a very nice player down the stretch.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you know, not to echo too much what you guys are saying, but I think we mentioned like the youth in Detroit lately. Obviously, when they were extremely shorthanded, it was Sadiq Bey, Hamidou Diallo, and Luka Garza out there running the ship for a few weeks. I mean, Sadiq Bey was looking like a future NBA All-Star out there. But I mean, the thing that I think, I mean, obviously he's rebounding right now as well. So he's averaging 7.2 boards per game. He had a 17 rebound game to start the year out earlier, which is impressive. Obviously, he's making 3.5 triples per game in the month of January so far. So all his numbers are kind of getting a little spike here. And as long as Jeremy Grant remains out, then it's a safe bet that, you know, that should continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Another really quick note from this game, Hassan Whiteside went off 21 points, 14 boards, 3 blocks, 2 steals. That's what we've been waiting to see from him as a fill-in starter with Rudy Gobert on the sidelines. However, this is a short-term pickup potentially. You know, he's probably already rostered for one thing because of the streaming value. If not, pick him up. If Gobert returns, however, on potentially as soon as Wednesday, you know, then you can write Whiteside off completely. He was one of Dr. A's short-term pickups of the day after Monday's games. Steve, for his top pick, zeroed in on his guy, Lance Stephenson. If you listened to the pod last week, you
weren't ready. Born ready, Lance.
He just elicits joy from basketball fans who are excited to see him back on the court. Steve writes, Stephenson played 31 minutes, hit 5 of 13 shots and 3 three-pointers for 14 points, 4 boards, and 1 assist in a loss to the Celtics.
Playing my guitar right now.
He's becoming the crowd favorite for a team which is talking about blowing things up, and he could end up being a valuable fantasy player for the rest of the season. And then he goes on to mention Torrey Craig, who scored 19 points, but he likes Lance more. Wow. Yes, he may take a hit when Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Duarte are back, but it still looks like Lance is going to get big minutes for the Pacers. That was Dr. A's pickups of the day for Monday's games. You can get them on NBC Sports Edge Plus, along with all of our premium content for every sport, DFS, betting, all in one place for one rate. All right, back to the order of the day. The Bucks wings and backcourt. We've got Drew Holiday has tested out of protocols, but he's missed two straight games with left ankle soreness. George Hill should return from protocols soon, but he was out on Monday. And the same can be said for Grayson Allen. Jared, why don't you take us from there? What were we looking at in Monday and going forward?
I think we all know the deal. When these guys are out, Jordan Nwora tends to ball out, just as he did last night. 18 points, 7 of 10 shooting, 4 triples, 3 boards, and my favorite part, 2 steals, and also assist in 29 minutes. Look, this guy's a baller. When he gets the minutes, he balls out. And, you know, it's going to be a short-term thing. Once the team gets healthy again, you know, he'll fall off. But he's a guy that I really enjoy watching play, honestly. We also saw Dante DiVincenzo come back a week earlier than expected. Did you want to say anything about that, Ryan?
Oh, just that he shot very poorly upon his initial return. He was back and shot 0 of 8 from the field. No surprise there. He was 0 of 7 from deep. Obviously, just a ton of rust that he's scraping off, but I wasn't into him anyway. Like, even once he's back up to speed, playing at the level that we saw last year, there's just too much competition for me here. Once Grayson Allen's back on the court, right, you got Pat Connaughton, who also shot, I think, 0 of 6 last night. But he's more competition for minutes. Unfortunately, yes. So I just don't see a path to fantasy relevance for DiVincenzo in this wing rotation. Any daylight there that you see, Aaron?
No, I mean, I think that there's too many guys that do the same thing. Like Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton, yeah, and Grayson Allen all do the exact same thing, essentially. Right. And that logjam there is going to keep any one of those guys from kind of really separating, yep, themselves, even, you know, when they're all healthy. The one thing that I'll say about Jordan Nwora is that, you know, obviously, you know, he went absolutely crazy in the summer league. But even then, like, the thing with him is that he doesn't really do much outside of scoring the basketball, which is why he's kind of hadn't had trouble cracking the regular rotation when all those guys are healthy. Because, I mean, he's 6'8", you know what I'm saying? So for a guy that's 6'8", can shoot the ball the way that he does, for him to only be averaging 4 rebounds a game. Obviously, and Jared was super excited that he was able to get some steals last night, but he didn't do that on a regular basis. But, you know, with his length and his size, he should be able to impact the game in more ways for them. If he could find a way to rebound and defend, really, because he's not great defensively either. I think he could really be a good piece for them. But I think that's the thing that he needs to kind of do next year going forward, to kind of take that next step in his development, because obviously he's talented. You know, whenever he gets the minutes, he's extremely productive. But, you know, if on a team with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, they don't need him to go out there and score 20 when those guys are healthy, you know. But if he can find a way to impact the game in other ways, you know, going forward, that's going to be his best bet of trying to get more minutes and crack the regular rotation for them.
Right.
Yeah, that's an absolutely great point. I mean, the man is a walking bucket, but keep an eye on his rebound rate, his steals rate. Rest of season, it's going to depend on teammates being out of the lineup in order for him to get enough minutes anyway. But I'd say in the off season, that's absolutely something to look for. Can he provide supporting sets? If not, maybe he's undrafted again next year. All right, Aaron, I know you wanted to talk about Miles Turner, off to a bit of a slow start in January, outside of the shot blocking department, at least. So why don't you take us through what you're seeing there? Any cause for concern? We've got some trade rumors, so a lot going on around Miles Turner.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously last night we saw a national football championship game in Indianapolis, but outside of that, there's not much going on in Indiana right now, and I think Miles Turner is kind of growing weary with the situation there and with the Pacers. Obviously, these trade rumors have been swirling for a while, and obviously the latest update from Shams is that obviously the Mavericks and Knicks are expressing interest in trading for Miles Turner. Obviously, the Lakers and Hornets has kind of sniffed around with him as well. But in January, he's averaging only 9 points per game on 40% shooting. He's shooting 3-for-16 from beyond the arc with 6 rebounds, which is extremely uncharacteristic. He is, you know, blocking shots. He's at 3.4 blocks per game with a steal. So the defensive numbers, yikes, are still there. But he just looks uninterested to me, man. And I think for a guy of his talent, man, I think they need to kind of try to get it – a new start for him somewhere else as soon as possible, because obviously he's been vocal about, you know, not being happy about his role throughout the course of the year. It feels like he can be used better elsewhere. And I think it's kind of starting to fester now, you know, now that we're into the new year with the way that he's playing. He just looks uninterested out there, to be honest.
Yeah. And, you know, this isn't the first time we've seen trade rumors affect a player. It's a real thing. Think about it. If you're playing for a team and you know that they're shopping you, how much do you really want to go out there and put everything on the line? Go hard, risk an injury for this team that literally doesn't want you. I mean, it has to affect you. It impacts players. I think that that might be taking a little bit of a role of what would be the word?
Toll.
Toll. There you go.
Teamwork. Toll on
Miles Turner. And they're losing. And obviously, losing doesn't help
anywhere
in any situation when you're losing games and they're talking about trading you. It's like, all right, man, like, get me on the first flight up out of here.
And earlier this season, he referred to himself as a, quote, glorified role player and said that he feels he's much more than that. Personally, as a fantasy manager, I'd be thrilled to see him land on the Mavericks or the Knicks.
Mavericks would be wonderful.
You would assume that in a Knicks deal, Mitch Robinson's gone or something like that. So, you know, and if he's a Tibbs favorite, playing time is not going to be a question. Suddenly he could be playing 35 minutes a night. Sounds
That's
glorious
a 10
to me.
Block so. Potential right there.
Hey, double. We might see. It wouldn't shock me if he played on the Knicks, if he managed a triple-double with blocks at some point. But, yep, so trade deadline guy to watch there. Potential upside, I would say, going into the trade deadline. And then,
definitely,
Jared, you also, or was it Aaron, you also wanted to talk about Darius Garland perhaps?
Yeah, and this Darius Garland stuff, I think in Cleveland, obviously, we know the situation with Ricky Rubio going down, Colin Sexton going down. They brought in Rajon Rondo. And obviously, in these last two games, Garland has really struggled from the floor versus Golden State in that loss on Sunday. 9 points, 3 of 12 shooting from the floor, 2 of 7 from three. And then Monday night, that was last night, 12 points, 5 of 13 shooting from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3 point, from the three. I think, obviously, they're still trying to get acclimated with Rajon Rondo, kind of working him in there. But I feel like the thing that Rubio was really good at was not only could he score for himself, but he could get everybody else shots. And the threat of Rubio kind of being able to score. I mean, we've seen Rubio go out and get 30 multiple times a year, but Rondo just isn't that, you know. So nobody's really fearing Rondo's scoring prowess. So that's kind of making it a little tougher on Darius Garland to kind of get his stuff off when you're – you know, obviously, I know that the scouting reports in the NBA aren't too extensive in the regular season because nobody plays defense. But when a team knows that you're the only guy that's really creating for everybody else, it makes your job harder, which is why I think a lot of the reason why we haven't seen James Harden kind of be the Harden that we've grown accustomed to, because he's kind of trying to get his and he's trying to facilitate. In Brooklyn is, and his role has kind of been uncertain. I also think he's kind of dealing with some injuries a little bit there as well. But I think Garland, obviously, I don't expect him to you know, score 9 points, you know, for the rest of the season or nothing like that. But, you know, but he's going to get back on his feet. He's going to figure it out. But I do think in some way, shape, or form, obviously, we've seen with that Shams news with Miles Turner, that the Cavs were eyeing Caris LeVert a little bit as well. And I think that would be something that if they could pull that off, I don't know how they would do it, but they probably have to get off some of those big guys in their front court. But if they could kind of pull that off, that could make Garland's job a lot easier, just to have somebody that can create, you know, to help him out there and to kind of just to be a scoring threat. And I know obviously Rubio wasn't no Caris LeVert, but the fact that he was a scoring threat and could go out there and also create shots for him made Darius Garland's life a lot easier. So I think we're going to have to see some adjustment period here as he and Rondo kind of get more acclimated.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think at the same time, Darius Garland is supposed to be the franchise point guard? Maybe he needs to learn how to be able to create without as much help. He is a super talented scorer.
And he will.
And he also he's hurt. His back is bothering him. So that could also be a factor here.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was just going to say that I'm not too worried about this. I do view it as a sort of, you know, you mentioned back injury and then an acclimation period with Rajon Rondo. It's tiny sample. I think they've only shared the court for 26 minutes, a total of 75 possessions, something like that. But Garland hasn't scored in those minutes. He's shooting 0% from the field alongside Rajon Rondo. So I chalk it up to that. He's just getting used to playing with, you know, you say, well, they brought in a veteran point guard to lead the bench. But as you pointed out, Aaron, these are very different players. So I think Garland's just figuring it out. And to Jared's point, he will. He's so good. We've seen him in a go-to lead guard role, and he's really taken that mantle and run with it. So I'm confident about where he'll go from here personally.
We'll see. I mean, I think I'm still a little bit sluggish on the on the franchise guard. He's really good. And I think he's obviously a great young player, but I don't know if he's the type of guy that you want to be putting the keys to your franchise in going forward. When you compare him to some of the other young guards that you see in the league, i.e. like LaMelo, Ja Morant, Trae Young, Luka, like he Like, look at the, some of the other young guards around the NBA. Like, LaMelo's in his second year.
I'll give you that.
I don't think he really stacks up with those guys. We're talking about a franchise point guard that we're going to have leading our franchise for the next 10 years. I don't know if he's quite on that level yet.
Maybe the franchise tag was a little strong there. Okay, all right, I'll pull back. We'll go tier two, Aaron. You make a good point.
We can go ahead and settle right there.
All right. You mentioned James Harden a minute ago. He was out on Monday with a kind of vague left knee injury, but Steve Nash said the team was being, quote, overly cautious. This was the second.
Why you gotta lie, Steve? Don't like these sneaky rest days.
Second half of a back-to-back. So as you said, Jared, is basically just a rest day. But we saw Kyrie Irving play his second game of the season. It was a loss at Portland. Kyrie had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 4 dimes, 3 threes, a steal, and a block. He also tweaked his left ankle late, but it doesn't seem that serious. He should be fine for Wednesday's game in Chicago, which he will be eligible to play in. So, yay. What did you guys see there? Anything you want to highlight from that game, from Kyrie's performance or how he impacted the backcourt?
I think for me, the thing that I'm just watching with this is this whole dynamic with Patty Mills. Like, I just don't understand the logic. Obviously, we know how talented Kyrie Irving is, but you just read off all his stats and they lost the game, like, to a Portland team without Dame, without CJ, like, that is a game that they should not. There's no excuse for them to be losing. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, you saw Patty Mills, like, in the two games that Kyrie has played last night. Obviously, 1-for-5 shooting. He did have 5 assists. He scored 3 points. And then the first game, Kyrie's debut versus Indiana, 6 points, 5 assists, 2-for-6 shooting. Like, he didn't get in the minutes. He's playing. He's still playing 30 minutes a game. But when Kyrie's on the court, like, Patty Mills essentially goes to, like, he's coming off the bench, obviously. And then he's like a catch and shoot guy that's gonna, you know, be getting you some assists. But and then when Kyrie is not playing, you're asking him to essentially be your second or third scorer, like, after you got KD and Harden. But that's not gonna be able to build any consistency going forward with that. Like, you're losing games to Portland. Like, there's no way that should happen, which is why I don't understand. Like, obviously, like I said, he's talented. You want him to be able to be on the court more or not. But if you're trying to build chemistry, like, I just don't understand how this is going to work. And obviously, it's kind of murdering Patty Mills', you know, fantasy value here, because he can't get in the rhythm. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't get the logic here, and I don't know how they're going to kind of solve this going forward. But selfishly, I will say, I'm supposed to be going to the Nets Wizards game next Wednesday, so I hope they all play. I hope Kyrie's there, Harden's there, KD, of course. I hope they're all there. So we'll throw that in there. But I really don't get the logic behind this, and it's baffling to me, honestly.
You sure you want to see that full team against your team, though?
Listen, I've never seen Kevin Durant or Harden or Kyrie. I've seen Kyrie in person. I haven't seen Kevin Durant or Harden in person. So I want to see them in person. And, you know, I hope Dinwiddie plays, you know what I'm saying? Go against his old team, you know. It'd be fun. Even if we lose, you know, I'll be a team player to see all those guys on the court at the same time.
It's a road game, and it's not a back-to-back, Aaron. So I think you're in good shape to see the full, healthy Nets roster out there.
I think you touched on important point about the chemistry, though, because it's just – It's so insane what they're doing. Like, they said that they were going to bring Kyrie back because of, like, the COVID stuff. And literally by the time he was able to play, most of their guys were out of protocols. So it's like, and you're just asking this team to completely adjust to a superstar every couple games. How do you do that? And then take that into the postseason where he's not even playing in home games. Anyways, ridiculous.
And God forbid they play the Warriors and he can't even play in the finals, which would be an absolute disaster.
Oh, my like, Lord. I don't want to see that. Just, I do not want to see that.
It's a good point, though.
I think, like, you had something to say about...
Well, you guys talk about chemistry, and I mean, it's a great point, because if Kyrie's coming in and out of the lineup, and we saw how there were reports that Kawhi being handled with kid gloves, rankled teammates in past years and things like, you know, the superstar treatment. Well, now you've got players who are there full time, who maybe they didn't want to get vaccinated, but they did it because they had to perform their job, whatever it might be. But, and the Nets came out and said, we won't capitulate to Kyrie. Well, now they have, and he's allowed to pick and choose which games he plays in, essentially, by only playing in the games that he's eligible for by being unvaccinated. So, right. How does that not sit you know, unwell with his teammates. I'm not sure, but we'll see how that plays out. And as I've said before, I'm truly fascinated to see how this works in the playoffs.
That's honestly the most baffling thing to me, Ryan, is that, like, how has Kevin Durant not choked this dude out? Like, like, bro, I don't understand. If this was like Michael Jordan or something, like, I cannot even imagine if Pippen said, I'll be there for role. Jordan would have choked him out on the basketball court. Like, I don't understand how this is, like.
That's basically what Shaq said.
Like, how, like, what are you doing, bro? Like, are you going to play or you're not, bro? Like, don't, we're not about to do this. Half in, half out. Like, it's unbelievable to see how Kevin Durant has kind of been handling this whole thing. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to support him. Like,
right.
What?
He said, he explicitly said the other day, I'm not going to force Kyrie to do anything. It's like, all right, well.
This is your prime, bro. Like, you just missed your leadership. Year with an Achilles.
He's not showing up to work.
You just missed the whole thing with your Achilles. Like, you're wasting your prime of your career dealing with this dude. Like,
I believe that there's a very talented guard on Brooklyn's bench who is showing up to work. And I think that that's someone that Aaron wanted to touch on.
Oh yeah,
yes, Cam Thomas, the
love him,
the former LSU Tiger, man. I mean, this guy here is obviously last night filled it up off the bench, 21 points on 8 of 12 shooting, 4 triples, 3 boards, 3 steals, in 26 minutes off the bench. I mean, you know, obviously they were without Harden last night, but this dude is a professional scorer. Like, he showed it at LSU, he showed it in the summer league, and when he's gotten a chance this year and he's played big minutes, he's been able to score. Like. And I think he's somebody that you know, should get some more minutes here in Brooklyn because, like you mentioned, he's everyday guys. Like, when he gets the minutes, he's shown the ability to be an electric scorer. He's a confident kid. We've seen him kind of going back and forth with Kevin Durant about the one-on-one stuff and everything. And those are the type of guys that you need on the court with you, man. And I think he's somebody that, you know, if he can get some extended playing time, obviously we think this Harden stuff is going to end up being, you know, a one-game little, you know, rest day. But he's somebody that should be getting some extra minutes for them because he's shown the ability to produce in multiple spots this year.
Yeah, I think right now probably more of a DFS guy that you look to stream, you know, potentially on those nights when the minutes are coming. But you said it. I mean, he scored double-digit points in 3 straight games. He's got 3-point range. He can hit free throws when he gets there. He's a decent rebounder. He's averaging 2 steals per game over his past 3. So there's absolute value here, and he'll be a popular draft guy going into next year's fantasy drafts. So I mark those words.
And Cam Thomas was projected to be to a lottery pick. So he fell on draft day. He fell all the way to Brooklyn. And it looks like they got a gem. Moving on to the other side of the floor in that game, I'm going to steal Ryan's thunder by hyping up Nasir Little a little bit. He got off to a little bit of a slow start offensively, but he finished fine. I think he had like 13 points. A full stat line. Really where his value comes is the defensive end. And no shortage of that. He had this spectacular block on Kyrie Irving, picked him up from the perimeter. Kyrie tried to shake and bake him, didn't get him, and just absolutely stuffed him when Kyrie pulled up. It was an incredible little bit of defense to watch there. And this is a man who is rostered in just 15% of Yahoo leagues. That is far too little for a guy that's playing as well as he has been.
But well done with the pun there, Jared. Yes, he should. I mean, he's a guy I've been trying to tout, and yet, right, roster rate is low, and the people who haven't picked him up probably feel pretty good about it right now because his offense is just not there. But the shot blocking surely is, as you said, defensive specialist at worst. I'm still into picking him up. The Blazers are going nowhere fast. They're a team that looks like they're going to blow things up potentially. I mean, Nas Little is already playing harder than basically anyone else on the court, maybe except for Simons for the Blazers. He's going to get minutes the rest of the way. I think he's good enough to convert that into fantasy value. As I said, the offense needs to catch up. The percentages are brutal right now for 8-cat, 9-cat. But Aaron, are you seeing what we're seeing? Do you like the overall profile and the rest of the season outlook from Nas Little?
No, I do. And I think I don't want to overreact here, but I would not be surprised if Lillard shuts this thing down soon here. Like, obviously, this abdominal stuff has been going on for, you know, almost a year at this point. He was dealing with it last year. He was dealing with it over the offseason, probably even more than a year at this point.
Longer, even. It's three years at this point, I believe. Yeah, he's dealing
with injury. So, like you said, they're going nowhere fast. Obviously, CJ got a punctured lung. They're just like, I would not be surprised if Lillard and McCollum both kind of shut it down. But especially Dame, with you know, his mindset around the franchise in recent months and recent seasons, honestly, I think he's eventually just going to come to a point where they just chalk it up. And I think that Nasir Little could be a guy that benefits. And obviously, he's not a guy that has been consistently scoring the ball. When you're playing with two guys as high volume as Dame and CJ, you know, you're not going to get those looks on a night in, night out basis. But he showed flashes. Like, obviously, he had a 22.9 rebound game to start the year this year. He scored, obviously, 18-6 a few weeks before that. He's had 20-point games, you know, in flashes this season. So he's shown the ability to do it in moments. Mm-hmm. But I think as he gets more comfortable, as he gets more minutes, then I think he's a guy that can even, you know, get you some value on the offensive end as well, coupled with, you know, his defense. I think he is capable. But he has to get that confidence and get those reps in the game.
That's a great point. Is a player expanding into a role that he's never had before. And it's just going to be some growing pains. You know, shots aren't going to fall every night. And Dame, you know, what you said, I think rings true. We heard Steve say almost the same thing on yesterday's pod. There's a growing sort of sentiment that this is a shutdown. So if you hope to extract value for Dame, try to get those trades in now before this reevaluation comes out. Or if you're going to get nothing in return, you might as well just hold them, see where it goes.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, moving on. If you haven't already, you should download the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet and enter this week's completely free NBA pick and roll contest for a chance to win $50,000. This week, we're highlighting matchups between the Nets and Bulls, Cavs and Jazz, and Lakers and Kings. So if you have not already downloaded the Predictor app, do so now wherever you get apps. We're talking Kings guards. Jared, I'll throw this one to you. You were a little bit of a Tyrese Halliburton skeptic early in the season, at least for brief glimpses. But you're a believer now. You've been converted.
I'm a full believer. I am on that Tyrese Halliburton train at this point. he had another solid game last night, 21 points, 8 dimes. My favorite part, again, 3 steals and a block. Also 2 triples and 2 boards. You know, Tyrese, the scoring was coming and going earlier in the year. Been pretty consistent as of late. And he is always consistent with the most important stats, the dimes and the steals. But what I love most about what he's been doing lately is he's doing this alongside De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes. It really feels like he's finally finding his role on this team, where to pick his spots on the offense. And he's just so talented that he's gonna be valuable basically no matter what. I was concerned with the massive amount of guards on this team. I think they're all guards except for Richaun Holmes. But look, he's doing it. He's doing it. So I'm gonna give this man his credit. I was wrong. You were right.
Oh, we're not fishing for that. Aaron, is there a higher ceiling here on Tyrese Halliburton? Is he playing at max potential? I mean, we saw him averaging double digit dimes down the stretch in December. Like, what can't he do, I guess?
Listen, I was with you, Jared, because I was a Tyrese Halliburton skeptic ever since the draft. Honestly, like, obviously, you heard Stephen A. saying he wanted Halliburton to go to the Knicks, and I didn't see it, but he has proved me wrong as well. So I'm with you on that one. But I think Halliburton is a guy that has played himself into a position where, you know, obviously they have a plethora of guards there with Halliburton. They drafted Davion Mitchell. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox is still there. But obviously, with that situation in L.A., we saw them you know, try to ship Buddy Hield off. I think even De'Aaron Fox might be a guy that you look to trade now because of Halliburton's emergence, you know. And I don't know, obviously, I'm no Woj or no Light Divock or, you know, no GM here, but with Halliburton playing the way that he is, I think he's a guy that you can look to kind of be that point guard of the future. And because of the way that he can pass the ball and the way that he can shoot in the month of January, shoot him 50% from the three-point line, like, I think he's only getting better as a shooter with time, man. And I love the upside on him because he can shoot, because he can pass, and because he's somebody that can get you some steals on the defensive side as well. So I think if the Kings ever do move on from De'Aaron Fox, because obviously I think he's probably the most tradable piece because of what he's done in the league so far. If they were able to get some value for him, man, and you get a guy like Halliburton to you give him the reins at point guard in Sacramento, I think he's somebody who could be very special going forward.
Yeah, you wonder if that. Oh, go for it, Jack.
Question, Aaron. Would you rather have Darius Garland lead your franchise or Tyrese Halliburton?
Because of who I got around me. I think Halliburton's a better passer. So I think if I got a bunch of shooters around me, then I would definitely rather have Halliburton because he's going to get those guys open shots and easy shots, and he's going to defend. But if I'm a team where I need more, you know, scoring and a guy that can go out there and give me 20-25, then I would probably go with Darius Garland. So I think me personally, if I'm on a contending team that we want to win, I think I would probably take Halliburton just because of the fact that you're probably going to have some wings in there that are going to go out there and get you 30. So I don't need Darius Garland to come in. If you need Darius Garland to come out there and get you 25, 30, you're probably not a contender anyway. So in that aspect, I would probably go with Halliburton just because of his ability to play make for others.
I would too, personally. Just in a vacuum, as you said, there's some, you know, roster construction nuance there, but just in a vacuum, I'd take Halley as well. And you wonder if his extremely solid play and his playmaking lead guard potential and all that is starting to loosen even slightly the adhesive on the won't trade De'Aaron Fox label that the Kings have slapped on him.
I definitely think it is. Yeah. I definitely think it is. Especially when in that stretch where Fox was out of the lineup and Halliburton was going crazy.
Right.
And it wasn't you like, and he was, yeah, it's like, whoa, okay. Yeah. So this one, we can see if he's our lead guard. Like I think in the offseason, you'll definitely hear a lot of conversations about De'Aaron Fox potentially because of the play of Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, and of course, the Kings have waiting in the wings Davion Off-Night Mitchell. Yeah. They are a tank waiting to happen. Mitchell's production doesn't exactly look like it would scale up to fantasy relevance, at least not this season. Per 36, he's only at 13 points on 38% shooting, 1.7 triples, 3 boards, but he is at 5 dimes and a steal per game. So basically, you're looking at Devontae Graham. But again, it's a small size. He's learning.
Ouch.
To play the game.
Ouch.
Statistically, less, yeah, triples. But he's better than that. He'll be better than that long term, obviously. My point is just there's another player that they could insert to that backcourt to make up some of that gap and improve defensively in the same breath. So a lot going on in that backcourt. Buddy Hield's been showing a little bit lately. He had 19 points last night with 3 boards, 3 dimes. He has 2 steals in 3 consecutive games. Personally, I don't really see a lot of upside. I'm just so off him. He's a streaky shooter, relies so heavily on 3-pointers for fantasy value, which you can find on the waiver wire in droves typically. So especially with the chaos and the Kings roster construction, I'm not really into Hield. We're running out of time, so I'll end on that note. But does anyone, any takes on Hield? You guys higher on him than what I just said, Jared?
I feel like I'm higher on him. I mean, he's touched top 40 before. I see what you're saying. I mean, it's very limited, and he does need to get that efficiency up. So I guess I'm not going to push back as strongly. I didn't quite realize he was shooting 39.1%. But a majority of his shots are from three. It's actually not that bad of a percentage. But
in the month of January, right, he's shooting better from three, 45.5%, than he is from the floor, 42.5%.
Hey, man.
I love those guys. That's
not that bad, honestly.
Yeah. The fewer dribbles Buddy Hield has on his shots, the better.
Right.
All right, guys. Aaron, it was a pleasure. We will certainly have you back on the pod. This was fun. Jared, thanks as usual. And guys, we'll catch you soon. Thanks for coming on.
Adios.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.